From the heart of the city, where the beat meets the rhythm of your day, it's Shauna and Lala.
What's up? You're listening to Shauna and Lala. Check us out at shaunaandlala.com. Follow us on all social media platforms at Shauna and Lala. You could follow me at The Real Shauna May on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Bella_Lala125.
This week wasn't much of anything crazy.
No.
Not in my life, I guess.
It's kind of chill, kind of boring. I mean, I guess it's a good thing because we usually have some hectic, chaotic weeks.
Yes.
You know? So, but it doesn't help us with talking today because it's like, hey, we've been just like, nothing's been going on in our lives.
No, nothing has been going on. I worked this weekend. And the only crazy thing that happened, well, I almost fell off the steps.
Oh, geez.
At a house that we went to show. Thought I was at the bottom and I wasn't. And then, the other thing that happened, we were driving. One of my mom's clients wanted to buy a piece of land to put a house on. So my mom said, you know, we'll drive by and take pictures of it. So we drive down this little dirt road and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me at first. And then I'm like, Ma, it smells like weed. And my mom's like, stop it. You know how my mom is.
Yeah.
So we're like, where's this piece of property? Like, where is this land? The land, La, was like a freaking driveway. Like, so small.
So small.
Yes. So I'm like, that has to be it. That's got to be it. So my mom agreed. We didn't even take a picture because it was just junk everywhere. So we turn around and there's a guy with a garbage bag on his head, smoking pot.
In a garbage bag? Like, the garbage, like, he's, like, hotboxing himself type thing?
I don't know what the hell he was doing. But the garbage bag was on top of his head.
Oh, okay, so it wasn't covering his face?
No.
Okay.
It was just, like, wrapped on his head.
All right.
And he was just out there, like, walking around smoking pot.
I was picturing, you know, a garbage bag fully covering his face.
Oh,
and he's smoking under it. And trying to hotbox himself or suffocate himself. I don't know, but
no.
That's crazy still, even on his head.
Yeah.
Was it raining?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was beautiful out.
It
so
was
I looked at my mom and I said, absolutely not. And my mom's like, you know, you can't tell a client that.
Yeah.
So it's like against the law. I said, well, I'm telling her. So because, you know, I don't have my license.
Yeah.
So I told her.
Was she laughing?
She was laughing. She's like, thank you for looking out for me. I said, you are welcome.
Didn't they look at the specs of the land to see how tiny it was? Because when I used to look for land, I was looking for, okay, at least an acre or whatever.
Well, she's not actually building the house.
Oh,
there's okay. A company that said, like, you know, this is the model house that's going to be on that land.
Yeah.
And she was like, all right, you know, let me know, like, what the process is.
Yeah.
So, I guess she spoke to the builder or something. I don't know.
Okay.
So she's like, we'll keep looking.
Yeah, I would say so. Find some better areas, more country-ish if that's what she wants. But
this was pretty country. I mean, it was a dirt road.
Okay. I don't know.
But
guess someone's living on the property.
Apparently.
With garbage bags and weed.
It was just insane. So I don't know if you heard the news, but Biden is coming to town.
Coming here?
Yes, to the Hudson Valley. I don't know which town exactly, yeah. But he is coming to town.
Oh, boy. I am so excited. No, I'm not going to get political, but I never understand that stuff. You know, I mean, I guess if I was trying to vote for somebody and I got to meet them and see that they cared to come to my town, maybe that would sway my vote. I don't know, though. You know, I always see that on all sides, like a presidential candidate or the candidates, whatever, going to visit people and stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess it's just showing you, hey, I care. I'm here.
Did Biden actually say, like, to his team, I want to come to Orange County, New York?
I doubt
or
he said anything.
Hudson Valley, New York, you know?
I doubt he said anything. I think they're just like, sir,
you're going here.
We're
going
to take you on a nice field trip. To the Hudson Valley, you can get apples and ice cream. And he's like, okay. So I think that's probably how it went, but
well, I think that's how it goes for I mean, not quite like that, but I think the teams
get together
and they choose where to go.
Yes.
I don't think the presidents really have a say.
No. I mean, they might have a say, but yeah, their team picks it for them.
Yeah.
I know that much, but I don't think that he's like, yeah, very aware of where they're sending him. He's just going along for the ride type thing.
Yeah.
And this is not political. It's just everyone on either side can see the man is very, very, he's just a dementia patient, you know? My uncle has it, and he's the same exact way, so I call it like it is. I see the same symptoms and same everything that my uncle has, and he's suffering from dementia.
Yeah. Well, you guys can go have your ice cream together.
Me and Joe Biden. I'm like, yo, dude, I was in the basement the other day, or a few weeks ago. I didn't know where the hell I was. How about you? And he'd be like, yeah, I'm here. I don't know where I am. And I mean, and then I'm going to... Then I'm going to say, like, yo, dude, why are you banning TikTok? Because, you know, my daughter's at 2.5 million views right now. You can't be killing my vibe here. But no, yeah, he just signed. I don't know if you saw. He's just signed the bill to ban TikTok.
I didn't.
So they have 200 and something days that if they don't get a new owner for TikTok, then it's being banned in the U.S., which I don't agree with. I get the safety issues. I get China is bad. I get that they, you know, we can't trust them and this product is from them. But at the end of the day, like, TikTok has been a great tool. I've said it so many times on this show, right? So many times.
Yeah.
TikTok has been amazing with getting us news and information that the media won't show us.
It has. Not even just the media, but, like, I watch a lot of cat videos on there, pet videos. I watch the elderly people and on there, and they just, it brightens my day.
Yeah, but I get that too, the fun aspect of it, but they could say, well, go on YouTube for that and go on Instagram Reels. We can, but the thing, the TikTok, what I liked is the news. That's for me is the most important part about
it.
Is that all around the world, you got to see what exactly was going on firsthand from people, from regular people with no agenda, just saying, oh my God, look what just happened on my street. Look what just happened in this store. And that the news or TV or newspapers or magazines or Instagram and Facebook are not allowing you to see.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I find that very important. And I also find that that's probably why the government wants to get rid of
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Because we are exposed to so much that maybe they don't want us to see, or maybe they don't want us to hear or know that's going on.
Yep.
And that is my problem with it. Like, the cat video's cute, the funny entertainment stuff, that's great. I can get that anywhere else, but I can't get this real not censored news, because Facebook censors stuff, Instagram censors stuff.
Yeah, I feel like TikTok doesn't really censor
anything.
No,
they don't. And that is important, and we need that. We need to know what's going on. We've said it multiple times during COVID. TikTok was my tool to see the horrors that were going on in every country around the world that the news was not allowing us to see.
Yeah.
And I will forever be a TikTok fan because of that. Just because of that. I could do out with, you know, I don't care about Jelena's video. I don't care about the funny stuff. But for that realness and awareness, I will always support TikTok.
Yeah. And, you know, it's crazy to me. Like, why would, I mean, I understand the government doesn't want you to see certain things, but the censorship part of this mm-hmm. is just ridiculous. It's getting out of control.
Yeah.
Especially on Facebook.
Oh my. Facebook's the worst. I've been, you know, so many times for certain things or my opinions or even saying a certain word, I have been banned or blocked or like restricted. And it's insane. It's absolutely insane. And then Instagram is doing the same thing. And if I forget how you get to it, but if you go to your settings, you can see how people are labeled, or it's kind of giving you a warning like, hey, this person has posted some, well, they call it like false
information,
or this person has put some hate, you know, and it warns you about it. But I was labeled as something, I think, with false information. I forget what it was. And it wasn't false. And someone said, hey, I went to add you, and this message came up warning me that I shouldn't add you. That's crazy. I'm sorry. Like, that's crazy to me.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, I've seen it before, too. It's just insane to me. And what I posted up was about the COVID vaccine, of course.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, so I was like, everyone had to be warned, don't add this girl because, you know, she posted something about the COVID vaccine that right now, nowadays, we know it's true, what I had said at the time. So it's that, to me, I don't like that. You know, people can do their own research. You don't have to warn them about me posting up a meme about a vaccine. So yeah. I don't like Instagram or Facebook for that reason. Like, I feel it's very Nazi Germany, what they're doing with censoring and only putting out what they want you to see and they want you to hear. And then putting warnings over everything that, hey, don't watch this stuff because this person is a liar or this person. No, let me make that decision. Let me make that decision. And I can research for myself if I believe what someone tells me or if I don't, you know?
Exactly.
And are there people out there that they're worried about that believe anything they see? Okay, but that's with anything. That's with anything. You can't protect them. They just have to learn the hard way. So.
Exactly.
Stop censoring us.
And that's the other thing that I like about TikTok is I was scrolling through TikTok the other day and there was a guy, he was in the hospital, young kid, and he got the vaccine and he is now, has so many medical issues and he has MS from the vaccine. And, you don't hear those stories. No. You don't hear about the kids that are super sick.
Nope.
In the news.
Or the super cancer right now. Do you see that?
No, I didn't.
They admitted it. That a bunch of scientists found that people who had the COVID vaccine, the mRNA one, many of them, a high rate of them have been diagnosed with super cancers, which are super spreader cancers, which means a quick cancer that comes on and it spreads fast, and they're young people. And the common denominator was most of them all got the vaccine.
But that's not going to be in the news.
No, I saw an article on it, but yeah, you're not going to see the news stations putting that front and center, which they should, because that's important, because people need to say, personally, I have people I know and people's family that I've seen the rate in cancer and the rate of all these illnesses popping out of nowhere has skyrocketed. And that's the God's honest truth. Friends of mine who've taken it or their family, either just heart issues. My friend has the myocarditis, I think it's called. She got it from the vaccine. My other friend got the Bell's palsy. I forget the name of it. The real diagnosis, whatever he has, he got it from the vaccine. He actually apologized to me because he blocked me because I was saying that don't get it. It's bad. It's this, this, and that.
Really?
Yes. I said it can cause, you don't know what you're putting in you. And he blocked me. And he ended up writing my friend and me and saying, I'm sorry. I wish I could remember the name of the
disease.
It's like it gives you the paralysis of the face, like Bell's palsy. I forget the name. If I think of it, it'll come. But yeah, he was diagnosed with that and they said it's vaccine related. I have countless stories of people I know. And then there's people that don't want to think that it's from the vaccine. So they're not putting two and two together and they're not going to bring it up to you because they don't think it's from the vaccine. But
they're not going to admit to it.
Or admit it. And when I see them post, like, I don't know what's going on with me. This one girl who's my friend, she got every vaccine and every booster under the sun for COVID. She is severely ill. For the past year, 2 years, about a year, severely ill. She was just diagnosed with Bell's palsy and a whole bunch of other health issues. And I kind of want to be like, I want to shake her and say, don't you see? Don't you realize? Like, no matter what it is, even if I get a cold, I'm always backtracking. Like, okay, where was I? What did I touch? Why? How could I possibly gotten this illness right now?
Yeah.
Don't people do that and say, why in the last year has my health drastically went down the shitter? Why do I have these random disorders now, you know? And she has a whole bunch. She has Cushing's now. She has Bell's palsy and a whole bunch of other stuff. And she's not putting, if she is, yeah, she would never admit it. But she's going online and saying, I don't know why this is happening to me, blah, blah, blah. And I just want to shake her like, come on. Can't you kind of fathom that, kind of put it on the table that maybe it was from all those vaccines and boosters?
Well, the doctors are probably telling her no.
Yeah, the doctors won't admit that. Some do. Some have, because my friend, the doctor, told her, hey, you got this heart problem because of the vaccine and the other guy. So some doctors do, but 90% of them won't.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, guys, use your brains, common sense here. When my kids get sick after something, I'm like, what did they eat? What did this? What that? What could have changed? What changed that made them this way? Why can't you do that as an adult right now and use your brain and say, could it possibly be? Maybe it's not. But could it possibly be from that change, from that those vaccines and boosters that I put into my body?
Yeah.
Ugh, this conversation just stresses me out so much. I get so aggravated. I just need to stop.
Speaking of stressing out, how is your overwhelming mother syndrome?
Oh, my God. It's going. It's, you know, I've told myself I need to take care of me. I have to try to combat that overwhelming feeling. So I just started taking a dance class on Monday. It's going to be every Monday now, and that's going to be my little break and trying to battle this and fix this with me being so overwhelmed all the time. And hopefully it helps me to be in a better mental and emotional state that I can focus and be a better mom. And not an overwhelmed mom.
Did you feel a difference when you went this week?
Yes. Oh, my God. It started out with anxiety and guilt, like, on Monday. I think I was with you, yeah. And I was just in my head, like, maybe I'll just cancel. I don't want to go. I'm not going to go. I have so much to do at home. You know, is Jelena going to be good for my husband? Because sometimes she's not good for him if I'm not there. You know, all these thoughts going in my head. Then my social anxiety, which you know. That I have sometimes of going into a place, not knowing anyone, and especially having people watch me dance, you know? So I was like, I'm just going to cancel. I didn't, thankfully. I went. I had a good time. I was anxious there a bit, you know, because I'm trying to learn things and people are watching me. But I had a really great time. I learned a lot. I felt so happy leaving the dance studio. And then I went to dinner, because it was dinner time, with my best friend, Brendan. And I had such a good time there, too. And I got home like 10 something at night. So it was really nice for me to have that break, you know, from 5:30 until 10 something. Like, it was really, I felt good. And the next day, I still felt that way. I was really happy. I was really chill. And I think it's good. And I think if I continue to do that every week, maybe not going out to dinner afterwards, but giving myself that me time, it's going to be good.
What did you have for dinner?
Penne vodka, of course, you know, my favorite go-to. We got appetizers. We went to the Sugarloaf Tap House. I went there with you.
Yes. It's
good. So now I want to go back with you, because not for the penne vodka, but we got the wings. Me and him, like, he's a foodie just like me, and I love going out with him because we'll both look at the menus. We'll look at them beforehand. Like, he's already studying that menu like I am. And we know what we want. We get there, and we'll just order a bunch of apps just to try as many things as we can. And that's what we did. So we got, like, chicken wings, we got dumplings, we got something else, and the wings were really good. So we got wings, dumplings. He got a meatloaf Wellington, which was really cool. I got the penne vodka. It was good, but I'm like, I should have just stuck with the apps because I had more fun eating those than my typical penne vodka, you know?
Yeah.
But, so me and you have
they
to go.
They give you a lot of food.
Yeah, it was a lot of food. I took it home. I only ate a little, and I ate the rest of it yesterday. He ended up taking home his food, too. I'm like, we shouldn't have even ordered the entrees. We should have just stuck with all the appetizers.
Yeah.
But I felt good again. It was just really, it was so nice to just not have the stress. Me and him talked all night. We had a great time together. And then I went home and I felt good. I slept good and I had a good day.
And Mike survived.
Mike survived, yes. And he was actually really good about it. I am not trying to put him down, but I get stressed out. I know a lot of moms probably feel the same way with spouses that also work, and they're not, it's not that he's not hands-on, but he works and he does his own thing a lot of times. So sometimes when I go out, I'll get phone calls from him while I'm gone. Like, she's there, you know, telling me what's going on that he's stressed out about. And it's like, hey, yo, I left to get away from that. So if you cannot call me and, you know, stress me out because now I'm stressing that the baby's crying for 2 hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I thought that's what was going to happen. And he didn't. He didn't call me. He didn't, you know, stress me out with anything. I actually ended up calling him right before dinner to say, hey, is everything good? I'm going out to dinner. Sorry, is everything good? Because it was like a last minute thing with dinner. And he was like, yeah, okay. And I was shocked. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to take advantage of this right now. So yeah,
I'll be home tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm staying out all night. But it was good. So you, as a mom, you need that. You need to make the time. No excuses. I've made excuses for months and even years. So you really need to just bite the bullet and do it, and you're gonna feel so much better.
I agree, and I'm not a mom. But everyone needs that time for themselves.
Yes.
It's very important. Well, we have the perfect person on the show for you, La. Her name is Jill Wright, and she is a overwhelming mom strategist.
Jeez, I didn't even know they had those. That's amazing.
Yes. So she is going to teach you how to do like time management and how to like de-stress.
All right. I'll take all the help I can get. I need it. I definitely need it.
On the phone right now, we have Jill Wright. She is a time management specialist. So I thought she would be perfect for you, Lala.
Yes, I need that.
And for our audience, because our audience is moms, mm-hmm. and they are always busy running around and just...
Being overwhelmed.
Being overwhelmed, yes. So Lala actually went to the doctors a few weeks ago, and what did the doctor tell you? You had overwhelmed mother syndrome?
I don't know. She made a joke because I was like, I think something's wrong with me. I'm forgetful. I'm distracted. I'm not focused. I can't accomplish things. I'm running around like crazy with the kids. Like, something's wrong with me. And she said, it sounds like you have, I think she said, overwhelmed mother syndrome or something like that. And I laughed. I'm like, ha, you know, like, okay. She's like, that's a real thing. You know, that happens. So that's what I was told by the doctor.
So do you run into a lot of mothers that have overwhelming mother syndrome?
Well, I've never heard it quite put like that. But yes, I feel like every mom out there is very much suffering from just burnout and an inability to balance all the things because we have too many things to balance. So I see that a lot.
Yes, it's tough.
How do you change that in moms?
For me, what I like to start with is personalizing the tools that you're using, because I remember as a mom of really young ones, I was researching and trying to find tools and tricks that would work, and I was reading all the books and following all the, you know, the gurus and listening to the podcasts. And I was struggling because much of that information was geared toward like the habit and the time management and productivity information was geared towards like working men, not necessarily mothers or women, whether they're working or at home. And so tweaking the information that you're trying to work with to your personal situation is really where we need to start. And even within that, there are so many different kinds of unique personalities, unique career situations, family situations, environments that could really shape the type of tools that are going to work for you. So that's kind of where I start with my clients, is figuring out, like, where are you getting stuck? What are we working with that we can't change? And then from within that, I like to create a toolkit for each person individually based on, okay, here are some tactics that are going to work for you in your very real life, because something that works for Lala is not necessarily going to work for Jill, you know?
Yeah.
It's all really unique. Yeah.
So what is your backstory? Where did this inspiration for Grow Like a Mother come from?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like everyone's story when they change or transform something in their life. They hit a rock bottom moment. For me, I was just trying to open up a retail consignment store in my hometown. I had a 9-month-old and a almost 3-year-old, and I had quit my job after my maternity leave and thought, I'm going to go into business for myself. And then, of course, this was in April of 2020. And so the whole world shut down. As we know, with the pandemic, there was delays, the daycares were closed. Mm-hmm. I was trying to build a business and I had no support. Nobody could come help me. There was just so much happening. And I was also in the throes of quite serious postpartum depression. And my eldest son was diagnosed with autism, and a whole bunch of things all at once happened.
Oh my God.
And I realized that if I was going to survive the chaos that was sort of being thrown at me of things I couldn't control, I really had to take control of my mind. And it got me into personal development, and I've always been interested in sort of the self-help, personal development world. And as I was learning, my friends would say, "Oh, Jill, I don't know how you're doing it all." And I just felt like, well, nothing special, you know, like I will share with you all the things I'm learning. And that's how my podcast got started. It's really just like learning and sharing and learning and sharing, because like we said at the beginning, all moms are struggling with these same things. So let's share the information and get us all some help.
Yeah, we need it. We all need it.
I think everyone needs it.
Yeah.
Every mother and, you know, even I need it to learn how to prioritize and figure out what to do first.
And I mean, that kind of goes into the next question. There's like, you're talking about being overwhelmed and needing the help and not having anybody. And society has gotten away from that. It takes a village to raise a child. You don't have that support system anymore. You know, women aren't helping each other anymore. Parents, there are a lot of helpful parents out there, but, you know, some aren't, or they're not close by. You can't have them babysit. And I always get so jealous of my friends who have parents that are very involved, and that any second, any day, any weekend, they're like, "Hey, can you watch the kids?" Or, "I need help," or, "The kids are sick, can you come over?" And they have that. And that, and you see how well those women flourish by having that support system versus me. I don't really have that, and I'm like, my head, you know, chicken with her head cut off, you know. It's like stressful. So why do you believe support systems are incredibly important for mothers?
Oh God, well, for all the reasons you just said. And I mean, it does take a village to raise a child, but it also takes a village to raise a mother. Like, we're not given a handbook, we're not given the tools, we're not taught any sort of time management in high school or higher education in any kind of way. And so we find ourselves in motherhood in the early days, in the early years, just trying to figure it out. And unless we have examples, unless we have support, unless we feel comfortable asking for help and bringing other people in to support us, there's no way that we can thrive doing it, because it is not a one-person job, right? It mm-hmm. takes two people to create a baby, and it takes way more than that to sustain a nourishing, safe life for a child to grow up in. And it is really unfortunate that our culture has gotten away from these multi-generational sort of situations, because that's built-in help.
Yeah.
And we're having fewer kids in each family too, and that was built-in help also. The older kids would take care of the younger kids, right? And I'm so funny that we're having this conversation today, because in the next couple of weeks, I'm opening up a group community that I'm calling The Village. And it is literally for moms to come, to support each other, to learn, to grow, to ask questions from other moms and share their struggles and their wins and celebrate each other and just build community. And that is the beautiful tool that we have in the internet, in that you might not have parents close by, you might not know yet, you know, a reliable babysitter in your neighborhood, but you can come to this safe space and just be with other moms who get it and have ideas that can help you, you know?
That's amazing. That really is. That's what you need sometimes.
Yeah. I saw last night on Facebook, in a local group that we're in, me and you, a mom wrote, "Can anyone come to my house in the morning to put my child on the bus, or can I drop them off to your house?" And I thought to myself, there's no way that I would even allow a stranger to drop my kid off or put them on the bus. Like, I don't know.
That just shows you how desperate she probably is for that village, for that that connection or, you know, support system. And that's very sad, you know?
Yeah. So part of me was like, oh, like, I want to help out. But then part of me was like, what is this lady thinking? Yeah. You know, like asking a total
brave
stranger on the internet. But that's where our society has gotten into.
Yeah.
We're really at a disadvantage. I think we're more disconnected than ever. And I think also culturally, we're taught to expect ourselves to do it all, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people are ashamed to ask for help for fear of comparing themselves to the other moms they see who don't need help, perceived help, right? Like, I'm sure if you look at someone who you think on the internet doesn't need help, they've got an army behind them helping. They've got a house cleaner and food delivery service and, you know, the grandparents that are, they're there. And so I think it's two things, right? We've got this highlight reel of life that we're seeing comparing ourselves to, and we're also comparing ourselves to an unrealistic expectation that we buy into sometimes, that we're supposed to be able to handle it all, and there's something wrong with us if we're not handling it all. And so we've gotten away from asking for help. We've gotten away from these communities and like play groups and bringing in like a mother's helper for an hour at that crazy time between school pickup and dinner, you know, or swapping kids on Saturday with another friend so you can actually have some time for yourself or a date with your spouse or whatever the thing. And that's the reason I'm so passionate about helping people create the schedule that works for them so that they build those time periods in inherently, and they start to get creative about how they can claim that time back, what resources they can use or cultivate if they don't currently have them. Because if we stop looking and if we stop believing there's an option, we're stuck. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to stay curious and stay in that mindset of like, here's where I am now, but this is what I'd like. How can I get there? What are some ideas? What are some steps? What are some supports and resources? And when you start to dig in, the thread kind of unravels.
You're trying to reach that goal. And yeah, I agree with that, because that's helpful for me too, is even just visualizing it and writing down, I want to get here. What do I need to do to get there with the kids, with help, with this, that, you know, and I write it down. And that has helped me to visualize it and get things done without being too overwhelmed and, you know, not having the support that I need. But it is so important, and you're a better mom through all those steps that you just said. Like, you become a better mom because of that. Because some days when I'm stressed out and overwhelmed, I'm not a great mom, and I will admit that. Like, I go to bed and I cry, like, oh my gosh, I wasn't very kind to my children today. I was screaming. I was frazzled. I wasn't paying attention when my son was telling me about his day, you know, and it hurts. It hurts our children.
And I think you just touched on something really important in that. I see this a lot where moms will go and go and go and not reach out for the help that they need, because just doing something to support themselves is not an important enough reason. For some reason, like, of course it is, but we don't allow ourselves to think about that. It's only when we think about the impact it's going to have on our kids and the better parent that they're going to get, the lessons that they're going to learn, the modeling that they're going to see in terms of self-care and regulation, and, you know, and be able to pass those skills on to our kids, is then that we reach out and say, okay, this is worth investing my time, money, and energy in, because my kids will benefit, you know?
Yeah.
And, or moms will just go and go and go until they're completely burnt out and they have to spend so much more energy coming back from the hole they dug themselves into. And, you know, it's not that necessarily they dug themselves into, it's what it is. This is just what happens. And I try and catch moms as they're digging, as they're getting deeper before they hit the bottom, because it's so much easier to be able to access these things when you still have a sliver of your sanity along for the ride.
100%. I think my husband said that to me yesterday.
Yeah.
He's like, you complain you're overwhelmed, but you're the same thing kind of like you said. You're digging your own hole right now, and you're at a point of no return. And then tomorrow you're going to be like, oh my, you know, you're going to be crazy. So yeah, you have to look for that sliver and go that, you know, start there. But it's hard. It's very hard.
We almost need to give ourselves permission, or we want the permission from someone else to say, hey, I see how hard you're working. I know you need a break. Please go take the break. I've got this. But we don't have that person in our ear telling us that. Like, that's, you know, that's not real life. No one's going to come up to us and say, like, hey, I see you're so tired today, mama. Like, go for a nap. We're not going to get that offering necessarily. It might look different. You know, so starting to say yes when people offer help and it's genuine is a good practice, but also you need to claim that time for yourself, because no one's going to come save you.
Exactly. I agree.
So how do you prepare yourself for taking time for yourself?
It's a great question. I think the thing that works best for the majority of clients is a weekly planning framework rather than like a daily to-do list. So I teach on this. It's a really simple thing that can take 10 minutes on a Sunday, and you're setting yourself up for the week, putting only three things in your calendar that are the to-dos. Of course, you're going to put in the doctor's appointment. You're going to put in the, you know, if your kid has piano every Wednesday, all those recurring things and the one-offs. But aside from that, only focusing on three things you want to have done that week is really helpful, because A, you're probably going to get more than three things done. So you're going to feel like a rock star. B, if you don't have the energy and you don't get three things done, you're like, okay, cool. At least I got those three things that I deemed were most important done. Good for me. I don't feel guilty because I did those three things. And if you put them in the front of the week, the other thing that can happen is you're like, okay, well, I got my three things done. Do I take on some more or do I rest? And you get to give yourself that choice because it might be a week where you're having your period and you really don't feel like doing any extra, or you want to treat yourself and have an afternoon off because you accomplished the things you wanted to do in a great time. And the part about the weekly planning that I love is I always say to my clients, put 1 hour in. It doesn't matter if it's the same week, same day each week, even the same time. Just find an hour based on your week dedicated to self-care. And the goal is to show up to that hour with no expectations in advance of what you're doing. You just show up. And ideally, you've created like a little list in your phone or something of things that you like to do when you have some time to yourself, and you can look at it and intuitively fill your cup up and say, okay, I've got an hour. I put it in my calendar. I don't have to worry. What do I feel like doing? Does my body need to rest or does it need to move? Do I need to be alone or do I need to socialize and call a friend? Do I want to be outside? Is my body craving great food or movement? Like just being able to show up for an hour that you have carved out for yourself intentionally and give yourself what you need to fill your cup up.
I love that. I love that. I just started doing that this past week, right, Shauna?
Yes.
This past week, I said I'm doing it for myself. I'm taking some me time, and I'm taking a dance class. It's every Monday, and this is my first one this past Monday. And I felt so good after it. Like, I just felt, you know, stress off my shoulder. It just felt nice to get away from the kids. My husband took care of it. I even went out to dinner with a friend after the dance class, and I felt so good. It really rejuvenated me for the rest of this week, you know?
That's fantastic. I'm proud of you for doing that because it takes a lot for us to put ourselves on our own calendar. So good for you.
Yes, it was very hard. Finally, I did it. Because every week for the past few months, I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the class. I'm going to take the class. And I paid, so I said, if I pay, I know I have to go. And that's what pushed me, you know? But whatever it takes, you got to do it.
That's right. And different for all of us.
Yes.
So where can our listeners check out your Facebook page, your website, and all that, and get some more information?
Yeah, thanks. I'd love to invite everyone over to the website. It's just my name, Jill Wright. .ca, because I'm up in Canada, and my podcast is a really great place to go for resources as well. I have two episodes every week. It's called Grow Like a Mother, and that is on YouTube as well as all of the places you can listen to podcasts, so Apple and Spotify and Audible and Amazon Music and all the places.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jill, for calling in. Everyone, check out her podcast, Grow Like a Mother. And that's our show for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Check us out at ShaunaAndLala.com and be sure to follow us on all social media platforms at ShaunaAndLala. You could follow me at TheRealShaunaMay on Instagram.
And follow me at Bella_Lala125.
We will see you next week.